Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny IO 620. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Jeremy Mays. What is up, good sir?
Hey, not much. Happy New Year, everybody, if you're listening to this on the 1st. Or Happy New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I guess I should get this up right away, I suppose, but the chances that someone is gonna take the time out to listen to this on New Year's Eve, I feel like the possibility is kind of low at this juncture.
Yeah, I mean, especially because I don't even know what time it is. Nah, it's not drinking time quite yet. But I don't know what it's like in your neck of the woods, but we have a curfew of 10 o'clock. Bars and restaurants have to close at 10, so most close at 9, and no one wants to go out and do anything, so...
Oh.
It's another year of sitting at home drinking, or whatever, maybe not.
Yeah, well, you know, we haven't really done much going out to drink for the new year, honestly. We've usually had people over for the new year, so that's kind of made things pretty easy to not drink and drive. I feel like that's been less common at the house than it has than it was at the condo. So there was that, and then last year we completely missed the ball drop because we went to a nice dinner at Watershed Distillery, and reservations were running an hour behind. So it ended up taking us like 3 hours or something to do. Was it 3 hours or 2.5 hours to do dinner? So we were actually in the car when it went to midnight.
Oh, wow.
But I'll tell you what, we had five very tasty drinks. And the meal was awesome. It just, it just kind of stunk that that we were on the road because of the delay in our reservations being fulfilled.
Well, this year, it's raining this year, so we can't even... Like, last year, we just had a fire. A few friends came over. And this year, can't even do that. So...
No.
I don't even know what to do. You know? So...
Yeah, there is not going to be much exciting going on here. I mean, I can't believe that I was talking about the possibility of just day drinking and then being dry and or... doing our usual guava berry shot at midnight until that bottle's done and over with.
Dry January bullshit.
Oh, whatever dry month people talk about, whether it's sober October with Joe Rogan and his merry band of friends, or any other month, it's just like, no thanks, that's okay. You know, like I've already cut back enough on my drinking. That's why I kind of laughed when I went to the doctor and he's like, should cut back more. And I'm like, dude, like I'm maybe drinking 5 to 7 now at, you know, like, and it's usually not seven. Oh,
we was telling you to cut down on drinking.
Yeah. I was like, dude,
I'm never going to your doctor. Fuck that.
I was just like, man, it because, yeah, like, I haven't gotten the, like, I drank a lot, and I think we talked about it at the beginning of the last show, too, that a lot of it, I don't drink flights anymore. Like, if I get a beer at a brewery, the one place in town called it a 7-pack, where you go in, you get a fresh beer, you drink it, you buy your 6-pack, and you take off. I've had a lot of 7-packs this year.
That's interesting. Is there a variety or is it just the same?
Unfortunately, most of the places haven't been doing a pick of six yet. Some of the breweries are doing a pick of six, but most of them are just a regular 6-pack. You know, it's just one flavor, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah. Well, see, that's what I like. That's what I like doing the flights. You can try a bunch of stuff. So that's why I think they get on the ball with that. But of course, you got to get rid of stuff as it comes in too. So depending on your how you do things, you know, hey, this is going to expire way before this. So I guess most people don't know, but
I think some people know now. If you're drinking craft beer at this point, because there are still a couple that I'm like, oh my god, I can't believe I still have that in there. because there are a couple of summer beers that I tried to rotate through stuff as much as I could. But again, when you're not drinking that much, a six pack kind of lasts a while.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We unplugged our beer fridge for Christmas setup. Oh. And we are very quickly going to have to plug that thing back in. I didn't realize how much we had. So maybe we'll make a dent over the next few days. But I also had my first physical in like 2 years on January 4th. So I can't exactly, you know, run roughshod and then go, well, let's go see if I'm healthy.
So, Yep. Just had one of those myself, so... yeah, I guess, we can actually get around to talking to some wrestling again. The same topic, fortunately, unfortunately, a little bit of everything. That, the AEW Dynamite this week, that was the toughest wrestling show I've ever watched. Like, in an emotional way.
Yeah, you know, the last time... Okay, so this was a weird... I guess the Owen Hart one. But that was such a bizarre turn of events.
Right.
No less tragic. I mean, young guy, family man. No one had a bad thing to say about.
Right.
But, I mean, unfortunately, he dropped from nearly the top of an arena. Like, what? Just sitting it still. It's just bizarre.
Yeah.
So you had, you had people, you know, it was, I say awful only because, you know, the emotion of it, those interviews, and then they would have matches, and then they would do an interview, the match is like, oh, my God, this is terrible. But that was how many years ago?
Oh,
I don't even remember.
Because I remember not actually watching that pay-per-view. Like, that was one where I was watching it scrambled back at my parents' house. So that happened, I want to say that was when we were at Kent, when that occurred. Yeah, yeah. So it's been 20 plus years since that happened.
Yeah, because I think we all got together at... Either was I in the house or the apartment or the townhouse? We all got together, I think.
Oh.
Not so long. I don't remember now, so long ago. But
yeah. Like I said, I know that I was watching at home when it happened. So I did the tribute show. I don't even know if I necessarily would have watched that tribute show just because it was definitely pre-DVR days. And I wasn't talking my parents into watching Monday Night Raw. Or the rest of my family.
Yeah. No, we, yeah, and then what do we have? Eddie Guerrero, and then Chris Benoit, and the Guerrero, is like, it was kind of like becoming numb to it. Like, okay, a few more years is another, a few more years is another, like, but those were like active guys. I don't remember
Well,
any other active men or women.
Yeah, because... The only thing I guess I could think of, and so, I don't want to say it gets bypassed, but, you know, the WWE obviously had their tribute show to Benoit before all of the relevant information that we have now happened. And that's the only one that I guess I could kind of, to me, compare. Like, I don't remember them doing interviews. I feel like they did some interviews similar to what they did for Brody Lee in the Chris Benoit tribute show. But I guess I'm trying to think of who else has been active. Like I think that's kind of the key point that, and I'm not sure who active has passed away since then. Like, it's always... Even if they've been younger, I feel like they've been retired recently.
Or not an American wrestler.
Yes.
The poor lady in Japan that committed suicide.
Yeah.
Like, she was an active wrestler. But, I mean, unfortunately, it doesn't have the gravity it does over here. you know?
Oh, right.
Maybe like even in Japan, maybe like New Japan's not making a huge deal of it, or people over there, I don't know. But
oh.
Yeah, but this was, I think, really kind of a blur with those other shows now, but this show was so good. I mean, I think I texted you last night. The matches are no bullshit until the last one, which I thought was not the last one. The Santana, not LAX. Was it Pride and Powerful? Well, anyways, Santana, yeah. Ortiz and MJF, and they gave MJF that outfit to look like a tool, which is just even better. And then
yeah.
Hangman, Silver, and Reynolds. And I was actually surprised that was in the middle of the card. I'm like, that's going to be the end, right?
Oh.
I mean, it's Silver and Reynolds, but no. But the matches were just straightforward, but they still incorporated some storylines into it, which I thought was really clever and really cool. And then, you know, it was over. And when it was over, I'm like, wow. Like that there's been an emotional wrestling night like that way forever. I mean, it had a little bit of everything. A lot of sadness, but I think I said last show, there's a beauty in all this, man. I mean, everyone coming like, in that company and even like other wrestlers just coming together. It's, I don't know.
Yeah, it's had its own vibe. With what's happened, it's been pretty wild, and I agree with you. Like, they did more for the Dark Order in that episode of Dynamite than they even did with the new with the Dark Order with Brody Lee. Honestly, like I know that it's kind of. I'm trying to use the right word here, and I don't know if cheesy is the right word, but maybe predictable. I guess it was pretty predictable that they had all the New Order people go over last night.
You mean the Dark Order.
Or Dark Order. New Order. Okay. Good God.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
But honestly, like, I learned more about every member of the Dark Order in that episode of Dynamite than I have the whole time that they've been on TV. Like, if it weren't for me occasionally peeking in on BTE, like, I guess I wouldn't. I really wouldn't even have any idea of who John Silver is, and whatever his partner, Alex Reynolds, did you say?
Alex Reynolds, yeah.
Yeah, so those two guys, I guess I'm not a consistent watcher of that show, but I have kind of caught enough that I'm like, oh yeah, this stuff's kind of funny that they have with him and Reynolds. So... But yeah, like they haven't really had much on TV just in general. Like, they've had their advertisements on a lot, which is fine. Like, that was kind of their gimmick, but it doesn't really help when everyone's kind of been faceless in a lot of ways within the Dark Order.
Yeah, and well, I agree with you. But if you watch BTE, you get a sense of who everyone is. And that's what I've been saying when I do the shows about AEW. You shouldn't have to watch Being the Elite. Like, did you understand the whole papers thing?
Yes.
Okay. Elise had no clue what that was. And she watches with me. She's like, why are they throwing papers at him? I'm like, okay, that's right. I'd explain. She goes, oh, okay. I was like, no, it's actually very funny. But it was really, that was Uno's gimmick. Because he was given the power, and then, you know, it was Silver and Reynolds kept getting hit with him. But it didn't matter, because it was still great anyways.
Yeah.
No, they started the show off with the 10-bell salute, which is never easy to get through. And then the fact that they had negative one in the middle, and then the mom, and poor Nolan Rhino, which, great name for a kid, by the way. His other kid, Nolan, barely gets mentioned during the show. I was like, that's going to cause some issues when kids get older. They watch this stuff.
Well, yeah, they man, did. They did a better job of trying to mention him afterwards, but he was, I guess he's just so young, it's kind of tough to do much with him. You know, at 3 years
oh,
is.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Is, yeah, just really young.
But yeah, so that was tough. They followed with the Moxley thing, and then it was off and running. And it was, I mean, I felt awful for the wrestlers. And they clearly changed it up, because having the Dark Order come out, like Colt Cabana, I already forgot, who did he team with?
I'm trying to remember who that was. Oh, Matt Hardy and Private Party.
Oh, the Young Bucks.
He was with the Young Bucks. I'm sorry.
And you just see Colt is still crying from the 10-bell salute.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh, no, this is a mistake. Like, maybe we need to do something else. I mean, I know they're professionals, their job, but oh, boy. And then, you know, got into it, and he seemingly kicked it off. And then was that the Eddie Kingston one, or was his the third one?
His was towards the end.
Oh, no, yeah. That was right after, it was right before Silver Reynolds and the Page. That's right. And you remember you texted me last night saying, yeah, I'm doing this, I'm going to bed. I'm going to just watch the first hour and go to bed. And I wanted to tell you, don't. Because you don't want to go to bed after that. Like, but I don't know. The show was interesting. I really enjoyed the show. It was just wrestling. That's it. They didn't do anything stupid. They actually they steered away for the most part from the dumb spot they do. But I'm not even judging matches on this one. They really made you look at some points like the Dark Order was going to lose their match.
Oh.
I can't remember who it was. Oh, no, it might have been the Silver Reynolds one, which would have been fitting if Silver loses, because he was always the guy Brody picked on.
Yeah, he's always the guy that kind of screwed up.
But to let him down one last time would have been perfect.
Yeah.
But you can't have him lose. But that was my favorite match, because it had everything you wanted. Or everything you didn't know you wanted. Let's put it that way. I mean, you had MJF flipping off -1. That was hilarious. And yes, I'm calling him -1. Whatever. He's part of the Dark Order now.
Yeah.
And apparently he's leader because he beat everybody in the Dark Order last night with a kendo stick after the show.
Yes, so, which that was pretty funny, because I did hop on Twitter today after I got done watching to end up seeing that.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, that was by far my favorite one. That's the first time I've popped like that in a long time watching wrestling. Silver's about to beat Wardlow interferes, and I'm like, who's going to come out to help? Like, well, where's the rest of the Dark Order? But anyways, who cares? But I'm like, who's going to come and stop Wardlow? And I thought Hager was going to get in there.
Because
they still tied in.
Yes.
To jump ahead, like, Britt Baker got attacked by Thunder Rosa, continuing the story, you know? So, I thought Hager was going to, like, you know, him and Guevara were going to somehow, like, Wardlow, get out of here. It's not the night or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
When Eric Redbeard / Rowan came out, I lost my shit. Because I expected him to be on a WWE show. But I guess when one of the Wyatt family's off doing a bodybuilding competition, the other one's fired or unemployed now, and another one got burned to a crisp, can't exactly have him doing a tribute on the show, you know? But when he came out, I lost my mind. I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. It's not, but at the time it sure as shit was. And then you realize how big Eric Redbeard is.
Oh.
Holy shit. It's no wonder Paul Heyman was trying to get him over. I mean, holy God, man. He made Wardlow look small.
Yeah, he's a big guy. Like, he was, when he popped up, I was just so, like, he has been so out of my mind as far as, like, you know, oh, you know, like, you always think about, oh, all these people left the WWE, and you're like, oh, I hope this place, that place, or the other place grabs them. Eric Rowan, like, nothing really against him, because I don't feel like he ever got a really good chance to prove himself. And, yeah, like, I guess I thought he was okay enough. But he was always just the other guy, too, with Brody Lee. Or Luke Harper, I guess, in this instance.
Yeah. Yeah, he was always the other guy in the Wyatt family. But I think he even admitted he really didn't, like, he was still relatively new, I think.
Oh.
So he's still trying to, you know, find his place. And then, you know, he had the sheet mask. So he always looked the scariest. He always had that damn mask on. And then they split him up, which we didn't talk about. Can you believe the utter failure Vince turned the Wyatt family into? When they were at, I mean, you remember that Shield Wyatt family match. It was, what was the one in between WrestleManias? The place was going insane for it. And then they go, we don't need to do this anymore. I'm like, trying to keep it on a positive note for the show, but that genius tag. Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I really enjoyed the Silver Reynolds stuff, especially the end. I don't know if MJF didn't know that mask was, like, Velcroed on as tight as it was. Oh. He was yanking that poor kid's head. And I'm like, oh, boy. I was like, Angel, help him out. He pulls it off, and I go, he's going to hit MJF. He's going to interfere in this match, and he's going to hit MJF with the kendo stick. And sure enough, he didn't get in the ring, which is fine because it's a lot of pressure for an 8-year-old kid.
Oh, but right.
He hits him in the forehead. MJF sells it like he got hit with a brick. And then the part that kind of teared me up, you see Adam Page go, like, look at Reynolds and go, nah, let's get out of here. And left it to Silver, and Silver just, you know, all 5 foot of him? I don't know. But, and then to see him just collapse on the ground, they're trying to get him up, and he's just laying there, and then Rowan comes out with that sign. And that's why when you said, yeah, I'm just going to go to bed after, I was like, have fun with that down note. That was, I mean, beautiful, of course. I mean, the tribute and all that, but just downer.
Yeah, it was really tough because the wife watched the back half of the show with me, and she caught the tribute video, and that was... That was a real tearjerker. Like, it even it even got her.
Yeah.
So, you know, a non-wrestling fan who essentially knew him only as Luke Harper, like, was really invested in that. So, yeah, it's, you know, yeah, it's just really tough. That was a tough one to watch. In a very good way, and it really did, like, it brought out the best in AEW.
Yes, everybody. I mean, it shows. It shows when, like, because apparently Tony Khan rewrote that whole show on Sunday night. They were going to go through with a regular show, and then apparently, I don't know, depending on who you listen to or if it's true, he was talking to Dave Meltzer. Meltzer's like, you should really do something for him. And I guess Tony Khan was already thinking of it, so he just rewrote the whole show. And that's why they pushed back what they were going to do. Well, it almost, like, I know Vince always rewrites shows, but usually it's the day of, so it doesn't make sense. But in this case, I think it worked. You didn't have to overthink things. All right, so the Dark Order has to win. Yep. That's pretty simple. Okay, cool.
Well, and
we don't have enough Dark Order matches. Put his favorites out there. And it's like it was simplicity at its best. So I mean, and the talent balled out, all of them. As much as like Taya Conte hasn't been good, she was pretty good. That's pretty good.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, all the matches, it was the best set of matches I can really remember from AEW, just as a general whole. You know, like, and it didn't even, heck, it didn't even annoy me that much that the Young Bucks tag match wasn't even a tag match as usual.
Yeah, no, but again, oh well. We can't judge that show on the usual base, like the usual principles. This one gets a pass.
And oh. You
know what? Next week, if they go back to the same dumb shit, then yeah, then you know, they should be taking a task for it again. But right now, nah. It's... Oh, I will say, that's... I know other people see more Young Bucks matches, but that Meltzer driver they used at the end... Boy, Nick... Nick was really selling that thing. I mean, he had the arms and legs back and all this. I was like, holy shit, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was pretty crazy what they ended up doing with that.
Yeah. Oh, before we get to the final segment, the one part that really cracked me up was Chris Jericho constantly getting on Jim Ross's case about stuff. And then Jim Ross, did you notice, he just kind of bailed out after a while? It was basically the Jericho, Schiavone, and Excalibur show, where JR would say some stuff here and there.
Oh, yeah, I guess I didn't really pay that much attention. Like, I did kind of laugh that he was on him on a fairly regular basis.
Yeah, but then by... absolute favorite commentary part, though. Eric Redbeard comes out, because that's what he's going by now. And Jericho goes, it's Eric Rowan! Redbeard! Excalibur keeps in Redbeard right after, so they can't get sued. That, I mean, I think Jericho picked up on that, and just kept doing it anyways. Because Jericho, honestly, he's rich. He's considered one of the greatest now. He's like, I'll do what I want, which is pretty free. So it's nice to see that. And then Jericho's still trying to play in, like, story stuff, even though, you know, it is what it is. So
right.
But, yeah, no, it's – the last match I really enjoyed as well. And then I'm like, they're doing all the run-in stuff. I'm like, what is going on? And I was honestly thinking – stupidly, it's just like, you know, me, it's always, you know, the fan stuff. But when the first lights went out, and I'm like, what's this? And it was Darby Allin. I was like, oh, that's right. Cage and Darby Allin are going to fight. And then when the lights went out again, I was like, well, who that? I was like, Sting? Sting shows up. I was like, oh, okay. For some reason, I had it in my head that they were going to allow, like, Bray and Braun to show up or something.
Oh.
Which would never happen. There's no way that would happen.
Yeah.
Because everyone tuned into AEW next week, so it would never happen. But I was just thinking how awesome that would have been if they're in there, lights go out, and then the Wyatt family standing there. Or was it Wyndham Rotunda, Eric Redbeard, and whoever else, you know?
Yeah.
God, Adam Shearer, that's his name, are all standing in the ring.
Oh.
And they just back out. Like, in a perfect world, I honestly think that's what would have happened.
Yeah, well, you know, we don't need to worry about living in a perfect world.
Associated with, but, yeah, so, and at that, when they gave the boots to, well, now he was Brody. Brody Lee Jr. I love how they call him Brody Lee Jr.
Oh.
Like, Brody Lee's not his real name, but okay.
Yeah, that kind of cracked me up. But flipping between that and -1 was was killing me.
Oh, Jericho, that was another funny thing he did. He was like, well, you know, negative one is just just Brody Lee Jr. And he goes, but don't tell anybody I told you that. And he goes, okay, our lips are sealed. Your secret's safe with us. Like, he's like, damn it, I messed up. But it was just, it for as awful of reads we had to have that show, it was still a great night of wrestling. The show was great.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the most well put together AEW show, I think, since they started airing.
Yep. Simple and concise. And wrestling. You know, it got goofy at the end with all the, you know, lights going out, whatever. But that's fine. The end, it was just to set up the tribute at the end, too. Let everyone get set up and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Kind of have a breather after the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay. But I don't know. That tribute at the end, though, a lot of those pictures I saw on Twitter from sharing them, but just the fact that AEW was using pictures of other companies' wrestlers. Did you notice Larry Sweeney was in there?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man. I don't want to have pictures like that where, hey, you know everyone but one guy's dead in that picture, right? Like, ugh. And when they had the yeah, that picture always made me laugh.
Oh.
That wasn't even a real shirt. So
yeah, that I was a little bit surprised, although I guess I'm not. I was wondering if they were able to use some of those pictures just because they were John Huber's personal pictures. Even though they had the WWE guys on them.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I guess I was a little bit surprised when I did see some of the WWE guys on there, but I'm like, yeah, I figured you could probably get around that, or at least the WWE is not going to be callous enough to turn that into a dispute point, or at least I'd hope not.
Yeah. But it's, I don't know. I would like to see more AEW shows like that. Concise, to the point, and wrestling, like they promised us. Instead of getting all these skits and whatever else we get every other week. Like, I don't know. That's just kind of what I wanted. But,
oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get that. I don't know. Now we're not getting 20-minute dance segments with Jericho and MJF, which was entertaining, but it still goes against what they were going to give us. But, oh, before we move to NXT,
yeah,
I didn't realize Lance Archer was that agile. One, he looked like a bad motherfucker with jeans and, like, Brody, or the old Big Rig or Luke Harper outfit. Everyone kept saying it was classic Luke Harper. I'm like, well, that's what Big Rig used to wear.
Oh,
a variety of different stuff.
Yeah, I was. They did point that out, so that was that was good on them.
Oh, okay. So that's one bit. I'm not sure if you picked up on this. I know we're doing NXT, but try to remember what match it was. He was telling the referee to check the guy's knee pad. He kept saying there was something wrong with his knee pad. And the referee's like, what? And he goes to check, and the guy's like, what are you talking about? And as soon as the guy looks down, he got kicked in the face. Was that Silver and Reynolds that did that?
Oh, I don't remember.
No, that was Evil Uno. Evil Uno did that one. So what that is, that was the first match Brody Lee was the Big Rick Brody Lee. So when he came out, like, there's a video's up on someone's Twitter, has it. So when he comes out, he tells the referee, check that guy's knee pad, something's wrong. And the referee goes to check it. As soon as he checks it, he does the Big Mafia kick on him.
Oh.
And then the referee rings the bell, like classic, it wasn't WWE, classic WWE fashion. Someone gets hit in the face. Oh, the match started. Like, well, okay. But, so that's what that was. That was pretty fucking cool, too. So, I mean, they put a lot into it. The wrestlers themselves put a lot into their, you know, movement, mannerisms, I'm trying to get to the word tribute. That's the word I was looking for.
No.
So, but yeah, man. Oh, and apparently the TNT title is not retired. That belt is, though.
Oh.
So there's going to be a brand new design now.
Well, that's probably for the best. Like, because I remember them, they came out with the first belt, and I was going to do an article on that, but then they kind of showed a mock-up of what it was supposed to look like finished. And I feel like they've come out with that version of the belt, but I still wasn't terribly impressed with it. Like, it looked better than what it came out looking like after the TNT Championship, because I think the company said that they had to shut down for a few weeks due to COVID, so they didn't get as much work done on it as they were expecting to. So, I mean, you know, you can't really give them too much of a hard time. If they had less time and manpower to work on it than expected, you know, shit happens. But yeah, in general, I wasn't a huge fan of the design. So if they come up with a new design, that's good by me.
Yeah. Yeah, you think it'd be something more along the color scheme of TNT, which I don't even know. So.
What is TNT's color scheme, I guess?
I have no idea.
I mean, is it
so,
just...
Oh, well, never mind then.
Yeah, well, I know what station it's on, so I'm gonna go look real quick to see what colors they have up there. It's just a white symbol with the letters TNT in it.
Fun.
Yeah.
Well, if that doesn't work.
Ooh, no.
Although the white Intercontinental belt was pretty badass. So.
Yeah, they're still doing the white Intercontinental belt though, aren't they?
No, it's that god awful, like, over rendered, overproduced, like almost like Aztecian looking thing. That's what Big E has.
Oh, okay.
And then, yeah, just never so much WWE constantly changes the belts. I guess now because they sell them, it's another marketing aspect. But
oh,
whatever. Like the Winged Eagle. It's probably still the best WWE title. Try to think of another one.
Oh.
You know, the one Hogan had, the one that got smashed up and supposedly turned into the hardcore.
Yeah. Because someone was talking about this the other day, and I kind of went on it because I think someone mentioned the Winged Eagle one. And I feel like there's another one that I ended up liking because it might have been the one that the person offered up is a good replacement, and I'm not... I'd have to go back and look at it. I'm not going to do that on the show right now.
And I'm not set in stone, so. But yeah, like it's constantly changing them.
They do change them pretty. The WWE changes them fairly frequently these days.
Yes.
At least the lower belts. I don't feel like they change the big belts as much, other than the side plates. So, whatever, I guess, in that department. But I guess since we're kind of meandering over to that area, I saw a tweet from John Thorne about mentioning that the WWE didn't do as much for John Huber, is a.k.a. Brody Lee, is AEW. And I'm like, what do you expect? Like... Since he was an employee of the other company, I guess I'm not surprised. You know, and I don't know what more you could expect. Like, almost every, like, there were so many moments. And since we didn't talk about Raw or not that SmackDown was too late in the can to actually, you know, have any bearing on the situation. But Raw, there were multiple wrestler callbacks to Brody Lee.
Oh, yeah.
From Drew McIntyre mentioning it. So I'm like, Just because, to me, the company itself never really had Brody Lee, Luke Harper's back. Like, because what we talked about on the other show about how they Harper and Rowan didn't even win the title belts until they were the Bludgeon Brothers. So, like, I mean, they spent how many years as the Wyatt family and never captured gold?
Yeah.
Like, if you're trying to tell me that he was... I understand how great of a person he was and all that good stuff, but the WWE just... they didn't value him that much. So, I guess I didn't... even though they employed him for... you know, and the comparison that John Thorne used was 10 months to 10 years. They didn't value him that much as an employee. Right. So I'm not, I guess I wasn't surprised. Like, and I thought that the wrestlers did a good job of picking up his cause in multiple ways.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And like the your value is solely based on how Vince McMahon sees you. That's it.
Oh.
And he didn't see anything in him.
Yeah.
And you can try and argue otherwise, and I'd be like, well, in 10 months, Brody Lee was a bigger star than he ever was in WWE.
Yeah.
Because they gave him, you know, the freedom to do that. He bet it on himself. And look what he did. And again, if they wouldn't have screwed the wild card, stupid commercial, the Wyatt family up, maybe he could have been a bigger star. But the genius didn't think so and broke it up, which didn't benefit anybody. I mean, it's taken forever, and it's only the Fiend character, which is just getting ridiculous, but...
Yeah, it has. So, the Fiend character, I think we've kind of talked about some of those problems. When you make someone kind of like the Juggernaut, basically, where he can't be hurt,
yeah,
kind of makes for a bad wrestling character.
Yeah, it's not fun. Like, even The Undertaker.
Oh.
You know? But
yeah.
Like, and The Undertaker, like, they set a casket on fire or he got buried alive, which are plausible scenarios of getting out unscathed. Far be it, but they still. You set a man on fire, you know?
Oh,
and then you're going to set his partner or whatever. She wants to set herself on fire. Like, this is, it's just dumb. And, anyways, but that's why it was up to the boys and women, boys and girls, to do the tributes, because WWE wasn't, and it's not to say they haven't. They apparently filmed a bunch of stuff during Raw. And I saw some of it was on WWE's YouTube page,
okay.
So maybe they're going to make something. But in the immediate, no. It was obviously going to be AEW because he worked there, and then also, like, they don't have the stubbornness, and they're not, and this is not a defense, AEW is not the corporation or the company WWD is. D? Who the fuck is D? WWE is. God damn. I mean, there are so many products and things the WWE that we don't even know exist until you see it at a Family Dollar or something. You're like, what?
Oh.
Like a cane pencil sharpener? Like, what? You know?
Yeah.
And then you got all these deals, multimedia deals, movies, I mean, all this stuff. And it's all under the guise of one guy. And I know there's CEOs, there's directors, there's all this other stuff. It's one guy that does it. And he doesn't have his eye on his core product. First off, he's more worried about making the money, which isn't drying up anytime soon. But goddamn, they better hurry up and start turning it around, because that TV deal ain't $500 million, whatever it was. They ain't getting that. There ain't a chance in hell USA is going to get that for the ratings they bring in. But anyways, that'll be a direct hit on the bottom line. But as far as the tribute, Vince McMahon didn't see anything in him. But the boys did, because they were around. They saw the talent. They saw the person. The person, first and foremost. And that's why they had to take it upon themselves to do stuff.
Yeah, so I thought that that was a good, at least, point to bring up general, like, because neither show, neither Raw nor NXT, they didn't really do a whole lot. Just in general, like, there was stuff I enjoyed on the shows, but they also weren't, like, groundbreaking shows. I mean, NXT was mostly all setting up next week for New Year's Evil.
Yeah.
Which you need to do, but it also made it a not terribly eventful episode of the show either.
Right. Now, NXT was fine. I thought it was a good show.
Yeah.
The campy humor, the Gargano family, is just funny. They see there's a black cat inside the building for some reason. Johnny breaks a mirror. Like, all this stuff. I'm like, this is so cheesy. But
and I will
Austin Theory.
Oh,
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I know that we were making fun of the Way name. I was kind of like, I don't know how, like, I really like the Way. You can tell that Gargano is involved with his merch. Because that Way shirt, I'm like, that's kind of a fun design. Because I felt like that was the first shirt. Because I know that I, and again, the wife isn't a big fan, but she did enjoy the Johnny. Oh, sugar. I forgot to give that to her, actually. I forgot that was in the closet for Christmas.
I've done that before.
Oh, okay. Anyway, but she really enjoyed the Gargano and Candice LeRae. They did the takeoff of Mickey and Minnie Mouse, like the old 50s style, 50 or 60s style Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse drawings. And they had them as cartoon characters on it. The power, because I think it said Power Couple.
Yeah.
On it. So, yeah, I guess I always liked his little, Gargano face or whatever you want to call it. Like, it's
the punchable face.
Yeah, like it's not a great design, but he does. I think you can tell that he puts time into what they're gonna put out for him. And yeah. I kind of like as much as I still think the Way is a little too simple of a name, I did kind of dig the shirt this week.
Yeah. Well, the Way kind of works, though, because it was the Gargano Way, right? Then they added the other two, and then that Christmas episode where he gives Austin Theory Way protein. I'm glad they're finally using Theory the way he should. Now, I know he's a little comedic right now, but when he becomes like the smarmy asshole that he was and evolving that, he's great. That's why he was pegged as like a future star in wrestling. Well, and then Indy Hartwell, like they're treating them like children, which is even funnier.
They're
all adults.
Yeah. And the fact that neither Indy nor Austin are chafing at the fact that they're being treated like children is hilarious. Like, they're just playing along with it.
Yeah. Like, what award did Johnny win? I can't remember. I'm sorry. It was Theory that won it.
Yeah.
For a future star. And Candace goes, now Austin, share with Indy. And she hands it to him, and he's like, yay! Like, what? Okay, I guess. No, so it was like, it's stuff like that. Like, it doesn't seem, it's obviously fake, but they make it seem plausible. To where, like, other comedy writing, whatever garbage they do, is just like, this is dumb. Like, Elise hates the Hurt Business picking on the one guy in the hallway thing. It's stupid.
Well, yeah, it seems so overproduced because it's always just like there's one guy randomly in the middle of this giant hallway.
Yeah.
And it's just like, because like you need enough space to have the Hurt Business side by side. So like, it's never even like in like, you know, a narrow pass somewhere in the back. Like they've all got to be side by side. And then they're just coming up on one guy who's randomly in the middle of a hall. It's like, huh? Like, yeah. The setup's always weird. And then the fact that they, I mean, I guess they play them as heels. But, yeah, it just seems, it kind of seems unnecessary to their characters. Like, they're cocky and confident heels, but they don't seem like they're complete assholes like that where they're just going to pick on a guy. You know what I mean? Like, they just seem like they kind of are the best and they act like they're the best.
Well, they're the tag team champions and the U.S. champion. It's like, I don't know. I mean, maybe we're applying good guy logic to it, but it's like, you know, you don't need to do anything else. You can just be arrogant about it. That's
well,
what it takes. But
yeah, that's, I guess that's what I mean. Like, they have enough arrogance to be heels. Like, it doesn't really seem necessary, and it doesn't forward any storyline for them. And just the fact that they keep on doing it. Like, they've been doing it for, like, 3 months. I'm like, oh, my God, why is this still a thing?
Yeah, and is there going to be a payoff? You know, like, does that guy, or, I mean, that's not the same guy, but do they find someone who's like an indie wrestler or something, or like, you know, they turn around and he beats them up or something? Like, is there a payoff to this? Or are we just going and going with the same dumb shit? But,
yeah.
I mean, that was just like an example. Like, that wasn't humorous, but like a backstage skits that are just kind of dumb. So, like, the Matt Riddle stuff is not funny either, but that's just, I think that's kind of the point. I'm trying to give him credit for, like, everyone knows this is stupid, but he's a stoner, I guess.
Yeah.
But
he's one where he's getting enough time where he's kind of, you know, turning it into a positive, even though it's a terrible situation. Like, you can't always do that, and he's kind of pulling it into something.
Yeah. Yeah, but this NXT, like, they were just, like you said, just planting seeds. I really liked the little brawl with, God damn it, Karrion Kross. I keep trying to not call him Killer Kross. Karrion Kross and the other guy I always want to call Aleister Black, Damian Priest.
Wow.
You know, I thought that was a fun brawl. And I mean, this is an entire form of flattery, by the way. Scarlett Boudreaux is hot as hell. There's no way around that. I don't want to hear anyone trying to argue with me.
Yeah.
Gussie her up is Scarlett. She just looks a little bit uglier and mean. Like, it's like, it's a job well done. I mean, she's still hot, don't get me wrong. But it's like,
yes.
She's kind of evil, though. Like, oh, so this is, okay. Like, that outfit she had on last night. I mean, like, you know, cleavage all over the place and all this. And most of the time, the guy's like, fuck yeah. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to mess with this one, you know? So, that's a compliment, but it's probably going to come off wrong. Oh, well, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So I'm not apologizing for calling a hot woman hot.
Oh.
No way.
Yeah.
They know it, so just stop. Anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
And we were talking about Rhea and what's her name?
Raquel Gonzalez.
Raquel, yeah.
Yeah, that was one of those video packages. It's another, like, because I do feel like AEW puts together good video packages more times than not. Not that they had anything special on this past week, but the NXT stuff with Raquel and Rhea this week was great because I remember Raquel, and I don't remember if that was what the name that she was using for the Mae Young Classic.
No, it was Renee Gonzalez.
Oh, that's right. Okay, but yeah, I kind of remember her from back then, but I guess the one thing that we were talking about, I couldn't believe how much she has changed in the meantime. It's easy to see what happened with Rhea Ripley because, you went from the women's the Mae Young Classic look to everyone making fun of her and Pete Dunne for having the same haircut, to essentially her current look. Like I would definitely say that this is an updated version of when she moved on from the Pete Dunne look, and yeah, definitely went all in on the black leather look. So, just because she's been front and center, like it was pretty wild seeing just even some of those old, and they're not that old, videos of Raquel and Rhea from like the Mae Young Classic original. It's been such it's only been 3 or 4 years, but it seems like it's been forever that if for whatever, yeah. It's pretty wild how long they've been around already, and they're both pretty young. Like, what, isn't Rhea Ripley still like 23 or something in that
She's very young. Yes,
age range?
our old asses. Yeah, I mean same with Gonzalez. She ain't that old either. I think the women, by and large, they are younger than the men.
Oh,
So,
yeah,
but
that
I don't
that
know how
still
old
is
these are.
holding true for the
I
most
mean, the
part.
oldest person of the women is Mercedes Martinez,
Oh, yeah.
and it's like, okay, I think she's 37 or something, maybe. Okay. Like, it's so funny, I guess, because we're older. Like, 37, like, oh, she's old. I'm like, what? I wish I would have just listened when I was young.
I will give anyone in our age range credit for A, being in the shape that they're in, which is why I believe that Shahid and I have talked almost every show that we've done together about how good a shape R-Truth is still in, and he's a solid
How?
decade older than us.
I mean, yeah, you know what? Maybe clean living helps. I don't know. Look at Bobby Lashley. He's what, 44, 46?
Oh yeah,
But
he's
he's
in
made
great
of a
shape
G.I.
too.
Joe anyway, so.
But I have liked Mercedes' reintroduction
Excellent
into
job.
NXT. It's been nice. It was an easy transition. She didn't really get any time in Retribution. I was about ready to call it Revolution.
Whatever. Who
Yeah.
cares?
I love
Who
your
cares?
apathy when I bring that name up.
It's so dumb. All right, I was trying to be positive the whole time. That is the dumbest story going. They beat Ricochet every single time. Hey, remember when Apollo Crews and Ricochet were friends?
Apollo got moved to
Apollo's on
SmackDown.
SmackDown, isn't he? That's right. Okay.
Yeah.
So, Ricochet has no friends in the back then.
Well,
He's
yeah.
constantly getting beat by these guys. And it's like, and he goes, all right, I got my answer. I'm not going to join you. It's like, why do you want him? He can't win. Why would you want someone who's always going to lose in your group?
Well, in this week too, I'm like, when Ricochet came up with the rejection to them again, I'm like, oh, so surely you're finally gonna have some friends come down and help save you. And no, he just rolled out of the ring, and I'm just like, huh? Like, as much as I enjoyed the match itself, it was a terrible outcome. Like, it was
Yes.
a predictable win for Mustafa Ali.
Okay, real quick. I don't want to cut you off.
Mustafa, I'm sorry. It's
Okay, thank you.
Mustafa.
Is it not Mustafa?
Oh no, I couldn't
Did it
believe,
change?
honestly, I was a little bit shocked when I think it gained a lot of traction on Twitter when Lance Storm's like, "Hey, are they pronouncing his name differently this week?" And I'm like, they've been doing it since the whole Retribution gimmick started. I was like, this
I
is
have never noticed.
Yeah. Yeah, they have really been emphasizing that first you and Mustafa the
maybe
whole
that's how,
time.
Maybe that's how it was supposed to be said.
Yeah, I do feel like maybe they're trying to get more of an Arabic inflection in there.
Okay.
It doesn't
matter. It just stood out to me. So.
Yeah, so you weren't the only one that it stood out to, but I was just like, nah, they've been doing that for a while now, guys. Like, I guess no one else is. That's how little people are paying to Raw.
Yes.
And those segments.
You hear Retribution, you just go, who cares?
Fast forward.
So many bad gimmicks. Like, they can get them on TV, and it's nothing personal, because Don Kovic's just good. Dio Madden, I've never really seen wrestle. So I don't know. We all know Mia Yim's good. And so is Mustafa Ali. He's good, too. That's going to be weird to get used to. But it's just a dumb thing. It's just a dumb angle, dumb story. Stupid outfits, dumb names, like, it sucks.
Yeah.
And even seeing that in, like, a 4-pack. All right, say if we're going to go with, like, selling action figures, right? You see that as a 4-pack, and you go, oh, what movie is this from? Oh, no, it's WWE, the wrestlers. Oh. Why? That's exactly how that'll go. Like, why are they dressed like that? Well, the leader used to be a hacker, I guess. And then they all came back, and... I don't know. They've never said why. Well, they did on Main Event, but who the hell watches Main Event? So.
Well, even then, they haven't really proven... it's kind of like the Dark Order in a lot of ways to me. Like, it doesn't feel like they have a mission. Like, they have this giant group that doesn't have a mission statement, which is kind of weird. Like, if you're going to have something like that, like, you really got to lean into it. And AEW didn't do it until this week. And the WWE, like, yeah, it's really weird that, because everyone's like, oh, the gimmick's supposed to be terrible. I'm like, well, why are you using this much time on them if you know this gimmick is terrible? Like, I've been at the end of my rope with Retribution for a long ass time at this point.
Yeah, I was never really on board.
When they brought in Ali, there was a chance that they could turn it around, and they didn't. And now it's been like 2 months under Mustafa Ali, and we're not in a better place.
Yeah, no, they're just filling time on a show that doesn't use Aleister Black, even though he went. He's on Raw still.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, his wife got
Kevin Owens on the draft night, and he hasn't been on since.
His wife got mouthy with the company. Yep. So
that's exactly it. Like to say that. All right, and we'll go back to the genius thing. If you look at Aleister Black, how he conducts himself, the entrance, the music, lighting, everything, and what he delivers in the ring and his promos, and you go, I don't see anything in him. You're not a genius. So that's easy.
And I mean, he just doesn't. He doesn't see it appealing to at least a segment of his audience, and it's just like I don't like. How can you not know that would appeal to a certain segment of your audience is a little bit of a head scratcher to me.
When your show has no direction, anyways, outside of the supernatural one, it's not really going to matter. I mean. Even the Hurt Business, where do they go? Do we honestly see Bobby Lashley winning the WWE title? I don't see why not, but do you actually see it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I was kind of contemplating that because were they setting him up for a title run against Drew sometime soon?
That's what it seems to me.
Yeah,
because
like
he's a U.S. champion. He goes, "There's one goal. There's one goal that I haven't gotten to, so I'm entering the Royal Rumble." And I like Bobby Lashley. And everyone's going to hate the comparison. He's a mini Brock Lesnar. And what I mean by mini is he does everything Brock does, but turns it down a little to make it a little different. He talks more than Brock does. He shows up more than Brock does. He wrestles more than Brock does, right?
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Like, I guess Manny's the totally wrong word, but...
Yeah, well, I mean, he's always had a lot of similar credentials as Brock Lesnar, other than actually winning at the highest level of MMA. But clearly, you know, Brock's like, yeah, I'm done with those days. Those guys are too good now. I'm gonna take a pass on that ass beating.
Yeah. I don't blame him.
No, I don't at all. So Lashley has all the qualifications. He has the look, and it's another guy that it's really hard to believe that he's now had two different stints in the WWE and he hasn't gotten much of a look. You know, like he keeps on getting to that Intercontinental, like, and yeah, he had a great position when he was teamed with Trump back at, was that 23 that we went to in WrestleMania 23 in Detroit? So, yeah, like, I mean, that was his biggest spot. And it just has, you know, you kind of figured that he'd do something. And both of us have previously talked about how well we liked him in Impact. And it just, you know, you kind of thought that that was going to translate when he moved back to the WWE. And it, like, I feel like the teaming with MVP and bringing about the Hurt Business has helped him out a good deal. But he still hasn't gone on, like, any big winning streak of defending that championship. Like, he's had it, and he's defended it some. And I don't expect him to pull a babyface, I'm going to defend this every week situation. But I still feel like he kind of needs to, you know, do a little bit more to help move the needle. You know, like, yeah, I think they need to do more with him to move the needle. Like, they've almost concentrated on Cedric and Shelton Benjamin too much, you know, to get Lashley the full-on push that he needs.
Yeah, well, Cedric's definitely the guy. I'm not going to use the Rock comparison, but I'm going to say that, you know, The Nation was clearly the Rock's show when he got in there. Well, I get the feeling they're trying to do the same with Cedric.
Yeah.
Because he's, I mean, of, now, Lashley has personality, so does Shelton Benjamin when they allow him to talk. But
yeah,
Cedric's the younger one. He's the brash one. I mean, he's always cutting Shelton Benjamin off.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's like, it's almost as if it's like the Hurt Business is supposed to be the Cedric Alexander show. Like, are they using that as the bump to get him forward? Oh, yeah, but we also have this monster, Bobby Lashley, that we need to do something with, you know?
Yeah, that's what makes it such an odd kind of spot, because they've already been, they've been laying the seeds of Cedric kind of being his own thing for about a month now. But yeah, what do you do when Cedric Alexander is pretty much going to just take an ass whooping from Bobby Lashley anyway? And I think, hasn't he already a couple of times when he was still teaming with Apollo Crews and and Ricochet?
Yes, he was losing to everybody. And then they kept saying, you're going to keep getting your ass beat or you can join us. So he joined them. But yeah, I mean, Bobby Lashley ran through him. I think Shelton ran through him. MVP ran through him. It's kind of like, it's the exact opposite, it's the exact same as Retribution, except they kept telling him, you know, this will stop if you just join up. He's like, you're better than this. Where Mustafa Ali just goes, I want you to join us. Yeah, that's it. That's all he says.
Yeah. There is no sales point.
Yeah. Okay. But, you know, and I'm happy. And by the way, I am happy Cedric's in this group. Because that guy's ultra-talented, and it's cool to see his personality coming out now. Where before, it was just like, all right, Cedric Alexander, that's it. You know, they weren't doing or allowing him or writing for him, whatever, to do a whole lot. So, I like the Hurt Business. I think
Yeah.
If they were faces, I mean, they're money anyways, but if they were faces, oof, they'd be money. But I don't know how you would do that, because Bobby Lashley just looks mean. Like,
yeah,
I guess it's an insult, because I know what I look like, so whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just some people look a certain way. Like Brock Lesnar. No one's going to go to Brock Lesnar and be like, what a swell, nice-looking guy. No. No. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just.
Yeah, some people just look angry to boot, and he's kind of on that on that list.
I know. So whenever someone says that, it's like, man, you need to smile more. Well, I look like a fucking psychopath if I do that. Just sit around like, everything's great. No, it's so bad. No, you know what? It's your obligation to make me smile. By the way, it is not on me to make you feel better about yourself and smile at your stupid face. It's like, get out of here. I told you how I was called intimidating by some people I work with.
Oh.
They didn't tell me my face because they're scared of me, or were.
Oh, you got it in a review?
What? Yeah, like my boss, a long time, I never forgot this. Like, well, a lot of people think you're just intimidating to go to. And I'm like, what? Well, I'm just sitting here working. She's like, well, you know, you could, and that's where the smile more thing. That's the first time I heard that. Well, you can, you know, just try to be more approachable. I was like, how do I do that? I go, I can't help the way I look. I mean, I'm near 300 pounds. I'm wider and bigger than everybody we work with. And I'm bald. What do you want me to do that's going to soften my looks?
Can you shave your beard for us?
Yeah. No, because then this beard, by the way, this beard is for everyone else's protection. Because I shave every once in a while, and I know. I just go, no, it's time to grow that stuff back quick. So just eat a lot of vitamin E foods and all that stuff. So by the end of the week, at least there's some coverage again. Because I can theoretically slim down like 30 pounds if I really, you know, stop drinking, whatever else. But that's not going to happen. And I could lose like the double chin and stuff, and it still wouldn't look right. Like, it's just, my head's perfectly fine for a bald head. But my face isn't. I have a fat face. So I have to have something that distinguishes, or I've just got a blob on my shoulders. It's awful. It's all shit you don't think about when you're younger. You're like, oh, everything's going to be great. No. No, it's not. So.
Well, since we're at the rambling part of the show, is there anything else wrestling-wise to cover before we mosey on out of here for a couple of New Year's Eve drinks?
Yeah, no. Except what a weird year for wrestling. It ended on a sad but kind of uplifting note, at least to me it did.
Yeah.
And then let's see how they ruin it on Friday. Although, that'll be January 1st. So, no. 2nd. Wait, what day is today? Thursday?
Yes. Yeah. All right, yeah. Thursday. Sounds... Yeah, so it'll be... Monday's wow. The 4th, so it'll be the 6th.
Yeah. All right. Yep.
Yep.
No, I was talking about SmackDown being on the 1st.
Uh-oh. So,
but next week is a huge... You got AEW's big show, half of it, and then... Half of NXT's big show. I'm looking forward to both of them.
So. Yeah, that'll be, it should be a fun week.
Yeah. Oh, and I know you don't have the time. I'll say real quick. The MLW Opera Cup was on. That was their focus. Good shit in there, too. It's a brand no one talks about, but they had some good matches in that tournament.
Yeah.
So just stick to that stuff instead of this dumbass Contra stuff. It'd be a lot better, but...
Oh yeah, I know that I did see that they put up a Brody Lee tribute video that I have not quite gotten to yet.
Yeah, he worked with a bunch of those guys too. So, you
know. Yep.
Yeah, no, yeah. Hopefully wrestling's next year.
Okey-doke. I mean,
we can go out and watch it.
Yeah, the last thing I saw, that was one of the last things I saw live was NXT. Cause I would have seen that the week of my birthday. I think It was like March 1st or something like that here in town. I'd have to look back at the calendar to be completely sure, but it was something in that area. I think that was the last, it's either that, oh no, the Crew game would have been the last live event I went to, like that same weekend.
Yeah, the last live event I went and saw was Ari Shaffir. No.
Oh.
Either Ari Shaffir or Jim Brewer. So, can't remember which one.
Sounds like a good time one way or the other.
Oh, Brewer was fucking great, dude. He's great. Ari was really good. She didn't like him too much because he's so not sarcastic, but just his whole persona is talking down to the audience.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So if you don't know something in his jokes, you're dumb. So it's like, okay, you just gotta, that's what you're supposed to laugh about, but she didn't like that, so it's fine.
Yeah.
She still had a good time, but not as much as others, so.
Gotcha.
All right.
At DeFrango11 on this end, at Granny Maze on that end. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us wherever you can, since you can pretty much download this podcast anywhere, whether it's Apple, Google, Stitcher, Spotify. Go nuts. Help us out. Thanks. Have a good year. Later.
Oh, yeah, real quick. Fuck Bruce Mitchell.